हरे कृष्णा। आई फील वेरी हैप्पी टू बी बैक होम। आफ्टर अ लॉन्ग जर्नी, ऑल्दो टाइम वाइज इट वॉज जस्ट 1.5 months, जस्ट आई गेस 6 weeks. But distance wise it was quite a bit. We just traveled not more than 7 countries in UK and then Europe. UK of course has so many places in itself where we had our programs arranged. I specifically went, of course, London was the first place. Then Cambridge, and met Prabhuji's son and daughter-in-law, Jeyurkar Prabhu. Wonderful family, they hosted us. Then Manchester, Birmingham, Leicester. I know these places might sound strange names for many of you. Just like Nasik, whenever I tell all these places that they ask that, where do you stay? So nowadays I have to change my answer. That I stay in Nasik more than Chowpatty. And with surprise they ask, Nasik, which part of India Nasik is in? So similarly you must be also wondering that what are these places he's talking about? Manchester, some of you might have heard, you know, because of other reasons these places are famous. Like Birmingham is famous for the Cadbury chocolates. Manchester is famous for the Manchester Club. And Leicester, there is a place in UK. Leicester is famous for all Indians staying there. It is a mini India. So much so that at such a distant place, it's only at that place in Leicester where you will find roadside, you know, chaatwalas. And I was surprised. Bhelpuri, Panipuri and all that. So, Indians are very expert. Wherever they go, they make their mini India. So they don't miss India. So they get best of both. They get the nice money from the West. And it's actually, I would rather say that in a very interesting way, India is taking revenge over the Britishers now for whatever the Britishers did to us. In a very discreet way, the Indians are ruling over the entire UK. And the Britishers, they don't even realize that now they are under the Indian rule, as we were under the British rule one point of time. So much so that just, I think 22nd, there will be Rath Yatra in London. Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra, and they have huge 3 carts for Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra. And the parade takes place every year, the main street of the main city of UK. The main city, the capital is London, and the main street in London is Oxford. And on the Oxford street, Lord Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra, they very majestically, they have their parade, giving their mercy to these Britishers, who at one point of time, they wanted to defile the Rath Yatra in India, and they wanted to insult the parade of Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, the same Britishers, they now escort, give police protection to Lord Jagannath. And the entire Oxford Street is shut off. Nothing else. In fact, there are policemen on motorbikes, there are policemen on horses escorting Lord Jagannath. And that's how we can appreciate the kind of miracle which Srila Prabhupada has made. In fact, I can say that Mahatma Gandhi did a great job by driving away the Britishers. But Srila Prabhupada was many more steps ahead than him. That Mahatma Gandhi drove the Britishers away, but Srila Prabhupada engaged those Britishers in the service of Lord Krishna. So definitely, he receives better medal, Srila Prabhupada. So, one thing which I realized, of course I'll just make a list of the countries which we visited. From UK, we went to Germany. Germany, you know, is, as they say, they have a German slang about the Germans. Germs many. That about Germany, they say it's many germs. And definitely the kind of lifestyle and the culture which these countries they have. Some of you might faint, go unconscious, if you see and listen. And you won't even believe your ears and eyes, the kind of culture which they are born and raised into. So that was Germany. From Germany we went to Hungary, where everyone is hungry for Krishna consciousness. Then from Hungary we went to Slovenia. Slovenia is one of the European countries. I think it was Yugoslavia before, or Czechoslovakia before. I don't remember which one. Then from Slovenia we went to Italy. Italy, of course, was full of many adventures and excitement and exciting things. And in Italy we visited many places. Venice, the famous city of Venice, if you have heard about. And of course, the Vatican City. The Vatican City is a separate country within Rome. It's the smallest country on this planet Earth. And what is the Vatican famous for? For the famous Vatican Church. And to just to give you a sample of how big is the Vatican Church, just the ceiling, you know, our temple has considerable high ceiling compared to other ISKCON temples. You know, our ceiling of our temple is quite reasonably high. The Vatican Church, you multiply this height 15 times. That is the height of the ceiling of the Vatican Church. And the capacity, our temple can hold, I guess, how much? 500? At the most, you know, if, you know, everyone is crammed up, you know, at the most 500. The Vatican Church can hold within the four walls of the church. There's a huge compound outside where the Pope comes and he gives his speech every week. But just the four walls of the church within it, not less than 50,000 can be accommodated. And one thing, what happened in Rome was something very interesting. I am not prepared, so I am just whatever I am remembering. There are so many things which happened, so spontaneously things might come. So please bear with me. Today we don't have PowerPoint presentations and you know those things. I'm quite spontaneous today. In Rome, somehow there was some festival, the Hare Krishna festival at a different city in Italy where all the devotees had gone. The city called Milan in Italy. So all the devotees had gone there for a Sankirtan festival. So when we reached Rome, there was no one, no devotee to host us. So we were by ourselves. Myself and Gaur Gopal Prabhu and one other student had come from Bombay. So we were just by ourselves and hardly anyone speaks English there. Definitely we didn't know Italian. And they didn't speak so much English, so it was quite adventurous for us to, you know, roam around in Rome. the only arrangement which we could make for ourselves that we booked a hotel over there in Rome. And the receptionist, the person, he barely could speak some few words of English. And whatever English he spoke was in such heavy Italian accent that we thought he might as well speak Italian, you know, why he's struggling to speak English. So so we were interacting with him. We asked him that, you know, we want to visit the Vatican. So of course, Vatican is the most famous place. Just like anyone comes to Nasik, want to visit Tapovan, like that. So that's the Tapovan of Rome. So he gave us a map of the entire Rome city. And he showed us that, you know, this is where the Vatican Church is, this is where you are in this hotel right now. And this is the bus stop which you have to reach, and this is the bus number which you have to take, which will take you to Vatican. So, and there are thousands of tourists which come to Rome. So we were holding our maps and, you know, like other tourists, we were trying to locate the bus stop just on our own. And we reached the one bus stop from where we were supposed to catch the bus to go to the Vatican. And over there, the systems are quite different in terms of something like traveling by bus. Now generally, say somebody who is living in a city like Bombay, or even here, you have city buses here in Nasik. So when you get into the bus, you take your ticket. That's how it works. But over there, it's not like that. And the buses are like so sophisticated. The bus is like, you know, the bogie of Rajdhani train. You know, AC. That's the city bus. You know, with automatic doors and as you know, with sensors and as you just stand, the doors would open and you get in and the doors would close. The driver of the bus was dressed up with tie and he was having a cell phone on a stand and you know with sunglasses, and that was just a driver of the bus. So imagine, you know, people like us in this kind of dress, you know. So the bus, it pulled up. And then the doors opened, you know. So I was thinking that if these doors open automatically when you are just standing, why people do not have faith that when Vasudeva was taking Krishna, the doors of the prison house of Kamsa opened automatically. When in Kali Yuga, when just, you know, a silly city like Rome can have this technology, why not when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, can he not have this simple technology that when he is to be taken from Mathura to Vrindavan, the doors of Kamsa's prison house open automatically. So, I was trying to look into any Krishna conscious purports, even looking at the automatic doors of the buses there. So the doors opened and we entered, and of course, dressed up like this in, you know, glowing saffron and clean shaved and with long tilak and everything, everyone was looking at us. You know, what is that? Not who is that? You know, that was a kind of expression. And you know, there was a computerized monitor screen on the ceiling of the bus. And as soon as I entered, I read on the monitor, it said, make sure you have your valid ticket before you board this bus. And as I read that, I looked behind, the doors closed. And the bus started. And we were trying to figure out that what does this mean? You know, you are supposed to take ticket where? So the rule over there is that, you know, there are these small general stores at different pockets of the city where you are supposed to buy these bus tickets before boarding the bus. That's the rule. There is no conductor, you know, nothing of that sort. But definitely, anytime there could be a surprise snap check. The TC, what we call. So we were already now inside the bus, the doors had closed, the bus started off without ticket. And of course, we didn't have any money. The student who had come from Bombay to accompany us, he was the financier. So he was the most afraid. And, you know, he read, in English it was written, because so many tourists come over there, so they have things written in English also. So in English it was written, penalty for traveling without ticket, 100 euros. And you know how much is 1 euro? 1 euro is our 60 rupees. Kitna ho gaya? ₹6,000 × 3. So that was the fine if we were caught. Story is not over. So, you know, after reading that, you know, we could see that, you know, his heart was about to just come out of, you know, his system. And we could hear the heartbeat from a distance. And he said, we should get down, but how should we get down? You know, it's not like, you know, ki chain khich diya. The bus stopped at, you know, the stoplights, the signals. But the doors doesn't open. The doors will only open when it stops at some bus stop. So we were waiting, when will be the next bus stop when we can get down and do something about the tickets. So the bus, you know, it took 10 minutes for the next stop to come. And then when the bus came to the next stop, lo and behold, the TC was standing. And he was about to get in before we would get out. And now this student, you know, this devotee, he was about to collapse and go unconscious. He might as well had some heart attack, you know, a mini heart attack after seeing the TC. It so happened that there were so many others who were entering that this TC, he couldn't get in. And before he could get in, the doors closed. We took a sigh of relief. The bus started again. And then we decided, let's do the Indian way. Because, you know, anyways, you know, the tickets are so costly, you know, it's in euros, you know. For us, you know, for Indians over there, the figure is always 1 into 60. In UK, it is 1 into 80. Because 1 pound is 80 rupees. So, you know, so then we were just talking amongst ourselves that if in case the TC comes, you know, how we should present ourselves. So I said, we'll just start speaking in Hindi. That he will realize that, you know, they are like tourists from India and, you know, they don't even know how to speak some any broken English also, so how would they come to know that what was written on the monitor? But then we saw that there were some Indians. So then the next question was that if in case some of the Indians were called, so then we thought that if in case the Indians are called, then we'll start speaking in Bihari, in that kind of tone and accent and language, that even they will think that we have come, you know, Maharaj ji aaye hain Bihar se. So that kind of a tone we would speak in, so they'll recognize that, you know, they are simpleton and not very sophisticated people, so they should be excused. So of course all this was happening and no one came, and we reached our destination, the Vatican, and we came out and looked around. Wow, we did the Indian way. So my first realization in Rome was, have you heard of this saying? It says, you know, when you are in Rome, be a Roman. How many of you have heard? It's a very famous saying. When you are in Rome, be a Roman. So I said that I was in Rome. In spite of being in Rome, I was still an Indian. Because we did the Indian way. And it is, of course, the beautiful church and the museum, Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel, the famous Michelangelo, Raphael, and all these famous artists, and their original, the Sistine Chapel, if you have heard about, the original paintings of Michelangelo are there. And one very interesting thing, the Vatican, is that they are still maintaining a certain decorum and culture and tradition. We saw that it was a long line to enter into the church. To enter into the church, it took us almost an hour. That big line it was to enter into the church. And they have a dress code. You know, because in the West, talking about dress code, that too in the summer season, you know, that's something which you have to think over to discuss that there is any dress code, because for dress code you have to have some dress. So that is the situation there. So there was one couple, boyfriend and a girlfriend, and the girl was wearing mini skirts, and she was stopped by the church authorities because no one is allowed to enter into the main church very sparsely dressed. You know, they are supposed to cover their body properly, sufficiently. And she said, I've been waiting in the line for 1 hour. And they said, but this is our tradition. You can't, this is a holy place, it's a place of worship. You can't enter into this holy place dressed up like this. So they said that if you want, you can go and buy some more piece of cloth and wrap around your body. And they didn't allow. And we were seeing this whole interaction, and it's something, you know, worth appreciating that even now in the Western world, a place like that, they have, you know, these regulations that you can't enter into that place of worship anyhow you feel like. So then the boyfriend, he removed his sweater and gave to her, and then she had to use that, and then only she was allowed to enter. And then as this was going on, all the others behind who were in that category, you know, they did whatever was required to be done. So one realization also which I had being in Rome and looking at the grandeur of this whole place, you know, this church, that how God consciousness, even though we are in Kali Yuga and Kali Yuga is famous for irreligious activities and religion being just totally forgotten, but still now these places you will find people flocking in millions. Because still they feel that these places, they have the vibrations of the Supreme Lord. Jesus, of course, that's what they can get close as far as. And in Rome, we went to one very interesting church. It's not a very famous church in Rome, but it's very interesting. This church, it has a museum of skeletons of more than 4,000 monks from the 17th century. All the monks of that particular church, they lived, and when they died, they were buried underneath, and there was a cemetery, so they were buried within the church grounds. So it got so full with all the, you know, dead remains since 17th century that there was no more space for any more dead bodies to be buried of the monks. And because they regarded that the dead bodies of the monks, it has to be buried in a very honorable way. So they dug up the cemetery, and they removed all the remains of the previous monks who were buried there since 17th century. And it came to the skeletons of more than 4,000 Franciscan monks. So they thought what to do with it. It's like piles and piles and mountains and little hills of these skeletons. So they made I don't know how to describe it. I won't call it beautiful. It was interesting that they decorated everywhere. If you walk into, you know, it's like a room full of like this. Everywhere, it's only bones on the ceiling, on the wall. It's all, and they have made some arrangement that it doesn't smell at all. It doesn't smell. But it's very scary. And sometimes you find, you know, tourists, you know, clicking photos and, you know, girlfriends and boyfriends, you know, very much amazed and amused looking at this. So, of course, everything else was a little scary to look at, you know. A throne made out of bones and a skeleton sitting on that throne. And you look up and, you know, a skull is looking at you like this, and you look there and crossbones and jawbone and thigh bone and the rib cage and everywhere. Very scary. Of course, gives you a little amount of detachment. So everyone, we saw that, you know, all the tourists, they were having a nice time, clicking photos and everything. So the best part was the end of the museum, where there was, you know, a throne made out of bones and one skeleton which was put on the throne. And the skeleton had a plaque. Plaque, you know what plaque means? A wooden thing which had, you know, a very nice caption written on it. And when all these tourists, you know, when they would come and read that, that would really give them some little shock of their life. And this skeleton is holding that plaque and it's showing to all the visitors who are seeing that. So it said, what you are now, we used to be. The skeleton is speaking. What you are now, we used to be. And what we are now, soon you shall be. So, you know, definitely it was a very powerful instruction. And it's the truth. Yeah, it's the truth. So, you know, we were there in that particular museum for almost an hour. It was like a 1 hour horror movie. You know. And as I came out, wherever I was seeing, I was just looking at everyone, you know, with X-ray vision. You know, everyone was walking, you know, I was looking, my God, rib cage and skull and, you know, skeleton walking. Although, you know, Italians are beautiful looking people. But then, you know, after having that experience for 1 hour in that museum, everyone appeared different, you know, in their subtle body. Or so, from Italy, we went to, of course, many things happened in Italy. Maybe every lecture from now, some things will come out. From there, we went to Belgium. Belgium, we have a beautiful castle. ISKCON owns a beautiful castle in the middle of forest. And there is Rupanuga Academy, Bhaktivedanta Academy, where students come from all over the ISKCON centers and they study Shastras, you know, deep study of Shastras. And that's a beautiful place. It's called Radha Desh. And guess what? The deities are Radha Gopinath. Or very beautiful deities. So we spent some time there. And all these places, devotees were so loving. The devotees were saying, just stay here with us. Why you have to go back? So I was thinking, what to say? But then I realized that the Paramatma in the hearts of all the devotees in Nasik, they might have heard that. So immediately, you know, the spontaneous reply was that, I cannot dare to do that. But overall, of course, there were many small and big incidents which took place. But the overall impression and realization which I had, that my appreciation for Srila Prabhupada increased manifold times. Because sitting over here in India and maybe reading about what Srila Prabhupada did when he went to America in the West, you don't get the entire picture of the kind of culture in which these people live. And to give to these people this pure lifestyle, Krishna consciousness, it's threatening to oneself. You know, you could be killed for that. If you tell them not to eat meat, it's an offense. If you tell them, you know, there are some questions which are offensive questions if you ask anyone over there. You know what are the offensive questions over there? To ask anyone whether you live with your parents. It's an offensive question. What do you expect? You know, you expect that I should be living with my parents? First of all, this is the question, whether do they know who the parents are? One brahmachari in Slovenia, Mayapur Chandra Prabhu, disciple of Chandramouli Maharaj. Chandramouli Maharaj, you all know. So I was discussing with him, and you know, with devotees you can ask these questions because they are now into our culture. So I asked that, you know, where your parents, you know, they stay. So he said, I never saw my father. When he was in the womb, the father had left, divorced his mother, and never saw the father. And the, you know, and so many others, sometimes, you know, they introduce like this, you know, that she's my mother and he's my stepfather. And it's a very casual introduction, you know. It's not that it's a big surprise for them. Imagine, you know, you introduce like this in India. So this is one offensive question over there in the culture, that asking about their parents or asking about, you know, are you married? It's another offensive question. How can you expect, you know? What do you think? That I'm supposed to be married? You know, we stay together. That's a good word, you know, we stay together. We are checking out on each other. So that kind of culture, like there is one disciple of Jayapataka Maharaj. He's a very interesting person, Daman Krishna Prabhu. He's a huge figure. He was a professional weightlifter. It's a huge, bulky figure. And you know, when he goes distributes books, anyone who says no, you know, they had it then. So he said that many times when he goes to distribute books, he doesn't have to say anything, you know, he just shows the book and they look at the person who is showing the book and they, you know, silently remove some money and they give. And then they don't do like this, but you know, they take that book. So he was saying that in, this was in Slovenia, he said that in Slovenia and many parts of Europe, that there is a law that when the child is 2 years, till 3 years of the age, the child is not supposed to be a vegetarian. And, you know, they serve out with, you know, like soups, you know, chicken soup and ground up meat, meat paste, and this kind of thing. I asked why. And he said that his grandmother, since childhood, this Daman Krishna Prabhu, he used to hate meat. But the grandmother would hold the nose and forcibly feed it. That how will you get nourished otherwise? That was, you know, what they thought. That how would you get nourished if you do not eat that? So he, you know, he was saying that this is what is the kind of culture which everyone is born and raised with. And can you imagine Srila Prabhupada, he goes there to tell them not to eat that. It's like telling to a South Indian not to eat rice and sambar. Now imagine, you know, you go to Tamil Nadu and you conduct a program in Tamil Nadu, and you know, all the South Indians, you know, with their white lungi and all that and tilak and everything, they come and sit and you say, the first regulative principle, no rice sambar. Then maybe you will become history. So that's like the staple diet for them. You know, we were from Germany, we took a train to come to Hungary. And this, of course, the trains, as I explained, the buses are like so much of technology, the trains as well, you know. The trains are more costlier than plane over there. And the distance, you won't believe that the distance, at what speed the transportation takes place in these countries. Like from Bombay to Nasik, this much distance would take 45 minutes in Germany. You know, one devotee was, he was taking us from the airport to the Munich temple, and he was driving at 250 miles per hour. Those who drive cars, you can imagine what would be the speed, 250 miles per hour. That was the speed. And in Germany, they honk the horn if you are slow. If you are driving slow. Otherwise, you know, nobody honks horns there. And if in case you are driving at say speed of 180 miles per hour, then there is a separate lane for slow drivers. This is a slow driver. Huh? 180 miles per hour is a slow driver. So there is a separate lane for the 180 mile driver. And there are signs, you know. The sign says, turtles on this lane. So they are called the turtles, you know, like we have a little turtle. So if you are driving at 180 miles per hour, you are a turtle. So we took this train, and it took us 7.5 hours to reach Hungary. So guess how much would be the distance? It was 2000 kilometers. Now Bombay to Delhi, I guess it's over 1000. Over 1000 kilometers is Bombay to Delhi. Double of that. And how much time takes from Bombay to Delhi? Something like 22 or 23 hours. Which means something like 46 to 48 hours of travel within 7 hours. And so it so happened that this was, you know, in the European countries, you need to have one visa. It's called the Schengen visa. But there are some countries in Europe which require separate visa. So there was this one country, Croatia, where you have to have a separate visa. So we didn't have. But the train was passing through Croatia and you are supposed to have the Croatian visa. So we were conveniently, you know, relaxing, nice comfortable train. And then the border came, the Hungary border came. So when the Hungary border came, the border security police entered the customs and they asked for our visa. And, you know, we were just both of us, myself and Gaur Gopal Prabhu. There was no other with us, no one else with us. So they said that, we said, but we are not stopping at Croatia, we are going to Hungary and we have valid visa for Hungary. They said, no, but you are not on plane, you are on train. So train, sometimes if it stops, you can get down. So you have to have a proper visa. So then, it was a lady officer and then she asked us to get down. It's middle of nowhere, we don't know. The border of Hungary and some forlorn place and some like, in our standards, it would be like some remote station in some remote village of India. Like that, you know, we were stranded. And then she filled up some forms and she said that you can take a bus from here to go to Slovenia, which would take you not via Croatia, but via the countries which you have visa for. So waiting there for more than 5.5 hours, I couldn't even pronounce the name of that station, the train station. It's a very strange name. So we called up the temple president of Slovenia that we are stranded here, and he said, which station read? What is the train station's name? So I spelt it out and he typed it, Google search. Where is it? Because he was from a different country, Slovenia. And we were here in the Hungary border. And he said that I am not able to locate where you are, where this station is. And while all of this was going on, you know, all the Hungarians, they were looking at us. You know, as if, you know, some animals from the zoo are set out. Chidiya ghar ke panchi, like that, you know. So they were all looking at us, and you know, a group of teenagers, they were so fascinated looking at us, and you know, one boy was simply looking at my dhoti. How has he put on this? Kahan se kya gaya hai? So he was so fascinated looking at the dhoti that from all sides, you know, he was circumambulating me. From all sides he was trying to figure out that what is this thing that it's just, you know, thin piece of cloth and it is not falling off. And while he's walking, he's not getting entangled in it. So that was a fascination. And then, you know, a group of these teenagers and one teenage girl, she looked at this tilak. And you know, they didn't know any English, just broken some few words. And, like this, you know, she was asking, what is that? And then she came and she pulled out her arm like this in front of me. And I said, what about this? And she said, autograph. So can you imagine? And a teenage girl sticking out her arm and saying, you know, autograph on this. I said, Hare Krishna. You know, she was looking at, you know, what is he doing, you know? So these are people, you know, they are so far away. Then there was one big fat lady and she asked, Indian or Hare Krishna? And I said, both. So she wanted to have, you know, she had someone with her and she wanted to click a photo, a snap with us. So she was holding a sandwich, you know, with a sausage in it. Sausages, if you know what sausage is, it's like the intestine of an animal. So she was holding that and she wanted to take a photograph. So we were just thinking the kind of people who are out there is simply, it's beyond your conception that they are so far away. What can you speak to them about Krishna consciousness now? And our appreciation for Srila Prabhupada looking into this culture of people out there was increasing like anything. And now, you see, we went for this Western tour when we go every year. Everything is arranged for us. You see, everything is arranged. We know where we'll be going, who will be there to pick us up. There'll be devotees and, you know, everything. The temple is there. Our accommodations are arranged. Prasadam, whatever prasadam. Because in Italy, over there is nothing like Indian food. The only thing they know is pizza and pasta. So we were simply, you know, having a lot of trouble with this pizza and pasta. Whether it is khana or nasta. So, no, we made, you know. Khana or nasta, khao pizza or pasta. Or fir napo aapka rasta. So, Srila Prabhupada, you know, when he went to America, now we had the knowledge of, you know, being in city like Bombay, and of course before coming to Krishna consciousness, being in touch with the Western world through the Hollywood. But in case of Srila Prabhupada, he had no knowledge of America. No knowledge at all. When he saw the snow in New York, one morning Srila Prabhupada got up and he saw snow everywhere. So he asked one local American, what happened? Has anyone whitewashed? He thought that someone had whitewashed. For the first time Prabhupada saw snow. So having no knowledge of that particular place, okay, if even if you have no knowledge, but if you have some people, some supporters, no supporters at all. Srila Prabhupada had no one to pick him up. Srila Prabhupada had no one who would arrange programs for him. It was not that for us, we had a long list of the seminars which we were supposed to give. So all the seminars were arranged, devotees were ready to hear. When Srila Prabhupada went, it was not that, you know, there was a Gita course arranged and then there will be a follow-up after that. No programs arranged. No plan of action for Srila Prabhupada. Even if all of this happens, but if you have money, if you have money, you can do something. Prabhupada had no money also. You know, Srila Prabhupada, there is one instance when Srila Prabhupada, coming from Sri Vrindavan Dham, Radha Damodar, Seva Kunj, Rasasthali, that place, that too Srila Prabhupada was born Vaishnava, always lived a Vaishnava lifestyle. Not like us, that we kind of people were before coming to Krishna consciousness, we've, you know, done it all and been there. That kind of lifestyle we had. But Prabhupada, pure Vaishnava since birth, and going over there, and there was one first program where some few Americans had come. And Srila Prabhupada, he was so excited that I have this opportunity to speak about Krishna now to them. So Srila Prabhupada was so excited that finally some people have come and they will be listening about Krishna. So he started speaking. So Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives us the real goal of the human form of life. And then he's in that excitement, he's asking, you all definitely, you should be knowing Krishna. All of you know Krishna? And everyone is looking with quizzical eyes at Prabhupada. Who are you talking about? And Srila Prabhupada, you know, he became so despondent. No one knows Krishna. And everyone said, we don't know. And Srila Prabhupada became so dejected. No one knows Krishna over here. And Srila Prabhupada thought, how far they are. Prabhupada asked, you have never heard about Krishna, the word Krishna? And practically all of them, they said, this was in the 60s. And no one. So can you imagine a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada who was so much in Krishna consciousness? And he is interacting, encountering people who never heard anything, no concept of this Vedic culture. And what to speak, the place, Srila Prabhupada, he went to Bowery in America, in New York, which is like the most degraded. Even the Americans, when they heard that Srila Prabhupada, this saint from India, is staying in Bowery, even they were aghast. How can you stay in a place like that? You know, if you... Bowery is a place wherein it is full of drug addicts, the drug culture, the rock and roll, the sex culture. People lying on the street, drunk, drugged out. Prabhupada had to walk through that. Mukund Maharaj, who was Michael Grant that time, he explains this one incident which took place between him and Srila Prabhupada, which he speaks this particular incident with so much of pain in his heart. That he was also like one of the hippies and he didn't know anything about the Vaishnava etiquette, the Vedic culture. So he had just come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, and there was a program arranged for Srila Prabhupada, you know, 3 hours from, I guess it was San Francisco. So they were in the car and Mukund Maharaj, just few days come in contact. So they had packed some sandwiches and some fruits on the way, you know, if they would become hungry. So Srila Prabhupada, he was sitting in the front in the car, and Mukund Maharaj, Michael Grant and one other devotee, they were in the back. And they were feeling hungry, so they opened up their sandwiches and everything and they started eating. And then Mukund Maharaj recollects that he looked at Srila Prabhupada and he asked, he might also be hungry, I guess. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, would you want to eat something? And Prabhupada was hungry. Prabhupada asked, what do you have? And he said, we have these sandwiches, but I don't know whether these sandwiches are suitable for you. But we have some apples. Would you like to have some apple? Prabhupada said, okay. You won't believe how the apple was served to Prabhupada. Mukund Maharaj, with tears in his eyes, he spoke this. What he did that time. He took one apple. He bit it. He took a bite. And then he gave to Prabhupada. It's good in taste. And Prabhupada took that apple. He looked at it. He looked at Mukund Maharaj. And he took it. So Mukund Maharaj, with tears in his eyes, was saying that later on when he came to know the glories of this person, and I'm going to be a surrendered disciple of this person and I did something like that. The ambassador from the spiritual world who has come to give us the pure Krishna conscious process and you do something like this. So what we can see is that how much Srila Prabhupada tolerated for this one sole reason to give Krishna consciousness, to fulfill the mission of his spiritual master. So visiting all these places, still now the culture is so intense. In fact, we sometimes, speaking to devotees it's okay, but speaking to outsiders about the four regulative principles, about chanting Hare Krishna, you have to have immense purity to gather that courage to speak to them. So Srila Prabhupada didn't even speak to them, Srila Prabhupada transformed them. And that was, and I consider, you know, like visiting Rome and these big places and, you know, Colosseum. That's one of the wonders of the world in Rome. I considered that the greatest wonder of the 21st century or in this age of Kali Yuga is the establishment of the Krishna consciousness movement in the Western world by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai.
I am speaking to you about this Western culture, but I cannot even present it in a very graphic way. You have to believe it to see it. Sorry, you have to see it to believe it. Then only you will come to know what Srila Prabhupada has done. So that was one realization which I had. And coming back to India, now one realization I am having, that let us not take this process for granted, because the world out there is going on a royal road to hell, as Prabhupada would say. They are on their way to hell if Krishna consciousness is not there in their life. So we can just keep thanking Srila Prabhupada for what we have been blessed with. Because one thing we should understand, that if it is not Krishna consciousness in our life, we would be so much attracted by the glare of the Western culture that we would die thinking of the Western culture while in India, and we would be born there then because thinking about that. And then when we would be born in the more intensified of the Wild West, which means a broader road with more space to going to hell. So we should thank that at this point of time in our life, whether whatever age we might be in, we have been blessed with this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, which has saved the entire humanity, whoever is embracing it, but at least to us. And as it is said that you can believe on certain things by seeing, you can believe on certain things by experiencing, but the best thing is you believe by just hearing. So you don't have to go. Every year, I will give you a nice sample, a trailer. And you know, trailer is always most graphic of a movie. The trailer is the most graphic, more interesting than the movie. So every year I'll give you, and just by hearing, by the Shravan, we should come to know that how much more grateful we should be for what we have been blessed with. Srila Prabhupada, what he has given. And that is what, when I go there and when I come back, my appreciation for Srila Prabhupada every year keeps on increasing, increasing. And of course the process of Krishna consciousness. So this was part one of the different experiences. Of course, I have to, still jet lag is still on me. So as I come over that in your wonderful association, many more things will be revealed. And don't worry, now we'll be here for the next year full. And I thank you all very much for continuing on with your Krishna consciousness in such an enthusiastic way. And because of your love and because of your wonderful care and attention, that it has pulled me back again to Nasik. Although so far away, tens and thousands of miles away, but your love has pulled me back and is keeping me, that I am still maintaining some sanity after visiting the West. So thank you all very much for everything what you are doing and what you will be doing. And the show continues. Hare Krishna. Sorry, I was not prepared, so whatever just was spontaneously springing in my mind, I was just speaking. So we'll resume back our structured sessions. Of course, our Wednesday classes, we'll resume back where we left off. Bhagavad Gita as it is. You all remember? Prabhupada wrote Bhagavad Gita as it is, and we had started from the first chapter. So we will resume back Bhagavad Gita as it is on Wednesdays and Fridays. Next coming Wednesday is our Gita course. So those of you who have never attended the Gita course, you can register with Rohit Prabhu. You should get up. So you can register with him, those who have not attended the Gita course. So that will be for the next week. And then we'll resume back our Friday sessions, like today. And we'll have some interesting topics for Fridays. And of course, our Sunday program goes on, as usual. The Sunday feast with lecture. And Kirtan, of course. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrind ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Today's prasadam is sponsored by Sri Sanjay Mevani on the occasion of his marriage anniversary. So if he is there, I request Prabhuji to hand over. We will... We congratulate him by loudly chanting three times. Revo, Revo, Revo. And next week, this Wednesday and Friday sessions will not be there because of Bhagavad Gita course. So please take note of this. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So we'll have Kirtan and then Prasadam. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare
Hare
Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Gaur Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Gaur Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Jayo Radha Gopinath Radha Gopinath Radhe Radhe Jayo Gauranita 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 Jayo Gauranita Prabhupada Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jay Jay Prabhupada. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki, Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Shila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Yeah! Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Svalpa Punya Vatam Rajan Vishvaso Naiva Jayate Sharira Vidyaja Jodendriya Taheka Jive Fele Vishaya Sagare Tara Madhe Jivharati Lobhomai Sudurmati